Okay, Chevron, let's begin. Well, we are doing tonight and next week in Mirza Shanas, we're giving some Shirim on Purim. And we know that the Rambam finishes his halachic sections, usually, with an idea of hashgafa. Right, the Rambam, for example, at the end of Hilchos Mikvaos, talks about how a mikvah represents immersing oneself in the mehadas, that like knowledge is supposed to completely surround a person. The Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shemitah and Yovel speaks about how this year off that we have during Yovel to reflect and to study Torah, that's something that represents, you know, that Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi represents like that Yovel idea. The Rambam at the end of many of his halachic sections, this is a point actually that the late professor Isidore Twersky made, the Rambam at the end of many of his sections of halacha finishes off with a davar of hashgafa. And Hilchos Megillah is not an exception. The last Rambam in Hilchos Megillah has an interesting hashgafic idea, which I'd like to ponder with you tonight. The Rambam writes, Kol Sifrei HaNeviim Chaksuvim Asinu Libatoli Mos HaMashiach Chutz MiMegillas Esther. The Rambam writes that all the books, you see that whole shelf of books? All the books, Mashiach comes, poof! Right, they're going to be batal. Oh, everything besides Chumash. Right, everything, all Neviim and Ksuvim is going to be batal besides Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther, harehi kayemes kechamisha chumshe Torah ukehalachos shatorah shebaalpeh sheinan b'teilin la'olam. Right, the Rambam says, obviously, when Mashiach comes, we're going to keep halacha. Right, so halachas won't be batal. But the written texts, that will be batal. Navi? No way. Ksuvim? No way. The only books that we'll have on our shelf is Chumash, Chamisha Chumash Torah, and Megillas Esther. Zuck the Rambam, right? That's all we'll have. Va'af al-pi she'kozi karona tzaros yivatel, she'nema nishkichu ha'tzaros ha'rishono zuchi nisturu me'inai. Zuck the Rambam, even though all of the bad things that Klal Yisrael suffered will be batal, and he quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya to that effect, nonetheless, yimei ha'purim lo yivatlu. Shenemar vime apurim oele lo yavru mitoch hayhudim vizichram lo yasuf mizaram. Right, so the Rambam writes that when Mashiach comes, all of Tanakh, all of Nach, I should say, is non-existent. The only books that we'll have is Chamisha Chumshei Torah and Megillas Esther, and he proves it from a pasuk, Vimei ha'purim ha'ela lo yavru mitoch ha'yhudim v'zikram lo yasuf mizaram.
That,
what?
No more Haftorah.
No more Haftorah. Davening's going to be shorter. That's why Mashiach is something that Klal Yisrael has been waiting for so long. No Navi, no Haftorah, right? Or you got, and by the way, it sounds like halacha is going to be all about peh. Books won't exist in Mashiach time. I always thought that this is like a forewarning of our digital age, when books are no longer going to exist. That's what happens. You'll have like six books, Chumash and Megillas Esther. That's what the Rambam says.
So is he saying that even his form will be gone?
Even the Rambam's form will be gone. That's right. Books won't exist. Again, I'm reading a little bit into the Rambam. The Ravid, however, the Ravid argues on the Rambam, Amar Avram, Davar Hedyotis Hu Zeh. Right? Hedyot, by the way, is a Hebrew word for idiot. Davar Hedyotis Hu Zeh is the way the Ravid says this is idiocy. Ki lo yivatel sefer mikos varim, she'in sefer she'in bol nimud. Right? You have to learn from all books. Kach Amar Afilo yivatlu shar hasvarim milakrot behem, Megillah lo tivatel milakrot otabetzibor. Says the Ravid, you know what? In Mashiach times, we're not going to read Haftorah, right? So you're okay. We're not going to read Haftorah. Megillas Esther will still reign. That's what the Ravid says. Now, this Rambam, the fact that when Mashiach comes, we're not going to have Novi, we're not going to have Ksuvim, all we'll have is Megillas Esther and Chumash. This Rambam is really worth investigating. Like, what is it that's special about Megillas Esther? Why? And we could also ask the question from the other direction, which is it conceivable that we really won't have Nevi'im? You know, the Rambam himself tells us that when Mashiach comes, we're going to keep all the mitzvahs the way we keep it now. And when Mashiach comes, the world will operate. Sometimes people have this notion of a messianic era where it's going to be everything supernatural and everything wonderful. And the Rambam says, no, that's not what the psukim of Vigarza Evim Keves mean. It doesn't mean, right, you know, there's a Lubavitcher restaurant, Wolf and Lamb.
Right?
That is Vigarza Evim Keves. Right? That's the idea. But again? Wolf is not kosher. But the idea that when Mashiach comes, nothing is supposed to change is a relatively accepted idea among Jews. And yet the Rambam says that we're not going to have Navi, we're only going to have Megillas Esther. So what does this mean? So before we investigate what it means, the source of this Rambam, there are two sources of this Rambam. One is a Medrash, and the other is a Yerushalmi. Now, just to go through these quickly, the Medrash at the beginning of this Mishlei writes, on the Pasuk, Tivcha Mascha Yena, the Medrash says that this refers to Esther Hamalka, Shebeshoshi Giyat Sarli Yisrael Bimei Mordechai Me'asasa, Hiskina Se'uda La'achashver Shal Haman HaRasha. Tavcha Tivcha means that she slaughtered her animals. She poured the wine. This refers to Esther, that when there's a difficult time for the Jews, she prepared a seuda for Achashverosh and Haman. V'shichra osa yayin b'yosir. She got him really drunk. V'haya harasha sover ba'atzma shechoka lo kovid. V'hu lo hayodeya shepir salom mitzuda shimito shechichra osa yayin kansala umasala olam. Right, the Rasha thought that Esther is being so nice, right? Esther is making a whole meal, but really what Esther is doing is she's getting him drunk, and in that way she saved her entire nation. That's what the Medrash says. Af Archa Shulchana, the Pasuk continues that not only did she prepare a meal, but she also set the table. Zak the Medrash, what this means is, She'archa la shulcha ba'olam hazeh u'ba'olam haba, ve'eze, Zeh shem tov she'kansala ba'olam hazeh u'ba'olam haba, she'kol ha'mo'adim asidim li Betelim, v'imei ha'purim einam betelim la'olam shenema v'imei ha'purim ha'ele lo yavru mitochai hudim. Right? Says the Medrash that Urcha Shulchana means that Esther prepared her own table. She prepared her own table in that she established this holiday of Purim. That Purim is a holiday that will exist in Messianic times as well. All the other holidays, says the Medrash, will not be practiced in Messianic times. Purim, we will. Esther set her own table. She prepared this holiday called Purim. Purim is the one festival that we will have in Mashiach times. Interesting. That's the source of the Rambam. Now,
that's what I was
going to ask. What? Yeah, so this measure is the source of the Rambam. There's another source of the Rambam, yeah?
It goes against what it says,
Wait. Okay. So, wait. We'll talk about it. I need a few minutes. Right?
Okay.
So now, there's another source of the Rambam, which is the Yerushalmi in Megillah. The Yerushalmi writes that Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Nevi'im uksum asinu libatel, b'chamesha sifrei Torah einan asinu libatel. Rabbi Yochanan says that in Mashiach times, or in the future, Navi ksuvim will be nullified, we won't have them anymore, but Torah will still have. Based on the Pasuk, Kol Gadol V'lo Yosef. Reish Lakish says, Af Megillas Esther and Halachos won't be batel, Shenemar Kan, Kol Gadol V'lo Yosef, V'nem Lahalam V'zichron Lo Yosef Mizaram, Halachos are Halichot Olam Lo.
Right,
so
like
basically, whoa. So
the
Yerushalmi writes that there's a machlokas between Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Reb Yochanan says all we'll have in Mashiach times is Chumash.
Okay.
Reish Lakish says we'll have Chumash and Megillas Esther.
Right, the
Rambam is panskinning like Reish Lakish,
right,
not like Reb Yochanan.
Right.
This is against the normal rule of Psak Halacha that I follow Rabbi Yochanan and not Reish Lakish. Now it happens, I have a theory, I wrote this in an article probably 20 years ago, that the rule that we pass like Rabbi Yochanan, not Reish Lakish, is only true in Talmud Bavli, not in Talmud Yerushalmi. I have a bunch of Yerushalmis that say that we follow, that the Rambam Paskins, based on a bunch of Yerushalmis, that we follow Reish Lakish, not Rabbi Yochanan. It's not really dispositive. The Vilna Gaon, actually, I wrote an article about this also, the Vilna Gaon likes to amend texts in Yerushalmis. But the Gra on Yerushalmis is not the same as the Gra on Bavli. The assumption is that the Gra, when he amends a text in Talmud Bavli, the Gra, you know, went into exile, and he went through all the libraries in Europe, and he looked at the manuscripts. That's the tradition. So the Gra's emendations on Talmud Bavli are based probably on manuscripts. The Gra's emendations on Talmud Yerushalmi is based on logic, and the logic is usually to make the Yerushalmi like the Bavli. So very often, the Gra will flip Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in the Yerushalmi. And in those cases, actually, for the Gra, the Rambam is paskening like Rabbi Yochanan, not like Reish Lakish. Okay, but be it as it may, I have two sources, a Yerushalmi and a Medrash, that say that Megillas Esther will exist at the Asid level as opposed to the other Svarim of Navi. It could be that the Rambam here is passing like Reish Lakish, not Rabbi Yochanan, based on the Medrash. I should note also here, look at the last line in the Medrash. Remember as kids, like you had like a teacher who got up and like said this idea that Yom Kippurim is that like Yom Kippur is almost as great as Purim. You remember this?
Yes.
I remember when I was in 12th grade, actually, my Rebbe said this at the Purim Suda, and I said, Rebbe, what are you talking about? Like, makes no sense. He's like, drink some more. Now, that was like the worst possible advice you could give a kid, but that's a different story. But this idea that Yom Kippurim, that there's like a link between Yom Kippur and Purim, is actually found in this Medrash also. Amar Reb Elazar, Af Yom HaKippurim Eino Batel La'olam, Shenema Vayisal Zol Sochem L'chukas Olam L'chaper B'nei Yisrael Mikol Chatosam Achas B'Shana. But the last line the Medrash says that not only will we have Purim in Mashiach times, we'll also have Yom Kippur. So think about the way the Jewish year is going to be. We have two holidays, Yom Kippur and Purim. That's it.
No Pesach.
No, nothing. Right? What? So this is already very interesting. What does this mean? What does it mean that Purim is a festival that will take place in Mashiach times, even though other festivals won't take place? How can we understand this? So I'd like to give you a number of possibilities. I should add that most of the sources I found, or not most, many of the sources I found, I got from this book, Chaim Lechag, Reb Chaim Kalman Gottman. Rabbi Simon introduced me to him. He is a Satmar Dayan in Williamsburg, and he has some really good stuff in his Sfarim. Really good stuff. So a lot of what I'm saying tonight comes from him. Tshuvas HaRashba. The Rashba is bothered. Sha'alta, you asked a question. It says in the Medrash that all Yom and Tom are going to be batel, not Purim, based on that pasuk. Umi huzeh sheyom hashivatel min haTorah afilu osachas vaafilu kutzo shoyud. Who would ever say that any part of Torah won't exist? V'rabu hamefarshim hagadazu ba'ena ba'oznai v'lo nichnas ba'echon mehem hodi eni perusha. So the fellow asks the Rashba. He says, you know what, I heard many explanations of this Medrash, but I don't understand any of them. You, Rashba, tell me what it means. Says the Rashba, Teshuvah, Devarim no safim od bahagadazu, there's even more in this Agada, where it says that even Yom Kippur won't be batal. And based on the pasuk, chuka means forever. If that's the case, well, Pesach also, it says chuka, right? It says a few times, alkein nirali. It can't be only Yom Kippur, because it says Chukah by Pesach as well. Shabbat. Aval b'mei ha-purim hivtiach dekasuv lo yavu mitoch ha-yehudim v'zichram lo yasuf mizaram.
Says the Rashba that what this means is that, you know what? Of course, the obligation to keep Yontif will never go away. But push comes to shove, there are going to be times when the Jewish people won't observe the festivals. There are going to be times that Klal Yisrael will forget about Yomim Tovim, when there'll be times that the pressures of Golos will be so intense that we can't keep Yontif. It's going to happen. But there's one Yontif that we're not going to forget, or two Yomim Tovim. We'll always remember Yom Kippur, and we'll always remember Purim. And on some level, by the way, the idea that we'll always remember Yom Kippur actually resonates with like people in this world. When my wife was in Princeton, so this very nominally Jewish person, I don't know if actually she was even halachically Jewish, like a friend of my wife in her program. So she and her boyfriend, her live-in boyfriend, were, you know, thinking about Yom Kippur, and they decided that, like, in order to keep their mind off the fast, they would, like, paint their entire apartment on Yom Kippur. That's the way they observe Yom Kippur. And you know what? On some level, it's actually a very beautiful thing. Like, if you think about it from a Hasidic perspective, they want to keep Yom Kippur. But Yom Kippur resonates with Jews, right? You go to Israel, there are no cars on the street on Yom Kippur. Right? Yom Kippur is a day everyone keeps. Purim, says the Rashba, we won't forget about Purim. Right? We'll always keep Purim. That's what it means. Now, it's a little interesting because in our world, actually, Chanukah is more observed than Purim. Now, that might be because of the confluence of Chanukah and a certain festival at the end of December on, right? But that could be, that's why. But you should know, in the Frankel Rambam on this thing, he has a text that Chanukah and Purim won't be bottled, which is already interesting. And for the Rashba, what it really means is, like, there's nothing halachic going on here. It's a haftacha, it's a promise. The promise is that we'll always remember Purim. Now, in this Sefer Chaim Lachag, Rabbi Gottman, he points out that what the Rashba is saying is really nice, but it can't be pshat in the Rambam. You see, for the Rashba, the idea that Purim won't be batal is not talking about in Mashiach times. It's talking about in the year 2019 of our calendar. Right? It's not about Mashiach that Purim won't be batal. It means right now, people will never forget about Purim. Right? That's what the Rashba says. And that can't be what's going on here in the... That can't be what's going on here in the Rambam. That's one question. He also, Rabbi Gutman, points out, I couldn't find the Sefer online, the Manos Halevi. The Manos Halevi is like the classic book that people talk about on Megillas Esther. They say this fellow, Reb Shlomo Halevi Alkabetz, he wrote the Lechadodi, right? So he apparently gave Shalach Manos to somebody else, and the Shalach Manos he gave him was this book that he wrote called the Manos Halevi. Personally, I'd prefer a pineapple, but the Manos Halevi raises an objection. He says, what do you mean? People are never going to forget about Purim. But he says, in our time, there are lots of people who forgot about Purim. Sometimes things are so difficult for the Jews, they can't, right? They can't even remember Purim. I've heard a lot of Rahman Son concentration camp stories about how Jews suffered to eat matzah on Pesach, how Jews struggled to fast on Yom Kippur. I never heard of did you ever hear a Holocaust story about keeping Purim?
No.
I never heard it. Right? Isn't that interesting? And I think that gets at the point that the Manos Halevi is mentioning, which is, you know what, Purim will be forgotten. So what exactly this Rashba means, I don't know. It's interesting, but don't know what to do with it. So the Manos Halevi himself, Reb Shlomo Alkabetz, the L'chadodi guy, so he has a different explanation. He says that when we speak about Purim being not batal, and all other festivals being batal, what that means is bittul in the Yerideya sense. You know, in Yerideya, if I have a piece of treif meat that falls into a pot with kosher meat, right. So the halacha is it gets nullified. There's so much kosher, so little treif,
the treif goes away. It's right. Nullified. Bittul b'shishim. Right?
Yep.
You have 60 times more, it's bottle. Says the Manos Halevi, Purim won't be bottle. All other Yamim Tovim will be bottle in the sense of that the miracles that will happen at Mashiach time will be so intense, so glorious, so marvelous, that we are going to forget about all the other Yamim Tovim. We'll forget about them. Purim, we're never going to forget. Now, this idea basically is alluded to in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Lo ye'amer oid chai Hashem asher hotzi yeschem me'eretz Mitzrayim ki yim chai Hashem asher kibasim mikol ha'umos. No? The pasuk says that you're not going to say, oh, God was so great, he took us out of Egypt, because God took us out of all the nations of the world, and therefore that miracle of Yemos HaMashiach will be mevatel the miracle of Pesach. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu. You want the source? I don't know. Yeah, it's a pasuk in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 16:14. Hine yamim baim ne'um Hashem lo yimarun oid chay Hashem asher helo eschem eretzun sayim kim chay Hashem asher helo v'asher hevi ezera beis Yisrael me'eret safon mikla ratzot asher yidichim sham. Right, that's what Yirmiyahu says.
Okay.
It's a nice idea. Beautiful idea. Now, the Radvaz, basically, in the Tshuva, the Radvaz, did we ever mention who he was?
No.
Reb David ben Zimra. The Radvaz was 80 years old. He lived in Egypt. He decided, you know what, I'm going to retire. I'm moving out of the big metropolis of Egypt, and I'm going to move to this backwater community where no one's going to bother me, and I'll die nice and happy. So he moved to this town called Tzfat. His bad luck, he moves to Tzfat at the same time that all these young Kabbalist whippersnappers are moving into Tzfat. So the Radvaz, who ended up living from until age 110, he moved to Tzfat at age 80. He lived to 110. He had a Talmud called the Ari. The Arizal, in fact, some of the people argue that who says the Arizal knew how to learn? And others say, what do you mean he didn't know how to learn? His Rebbe's the
Radvaz.
I mean, it's a very hard argument to make that because his Rebbe knew how to learn, that means he knew how to learn, but we assume that the Arizal actually knew how to learn. But the Radvaz writes in the Tshuva, the Radvaz writes the same type of idea, that Purim won't be bottled. The Yontif of Purim, no matter how great the miracles of Mashiach will be, but Purim miracles will never be forgotten. Now, why is that? So in this book, the Chaim Lechag, he argues that in many ways, the miracles of Purim are greater than all other miracles. See, most miracles that happen, the Jewish people are suffering. Right? Egypt, push comes to shove. Yeah, they killed us a little bit. But most of what happened is we were slaves. Purim? Lehashmi laharogulabeid. Right, to destroy them, to kill them. But not just to destroy them and kill them. We had times. Right? Hitler, yamach shemo, wanted to kill us. But that's in one country. One part of the world, in Europe. Right? Achashverosh is the king over the entire world. 127 countries. Hodu ad Kush. And he wants to kill all the Jews. Right? Once there was a wicked, wicked man. Right? He wants to kill all the Jews. Everywhere. That means that the miracle of Purim is a greater miracle than all the other miracles because there was more at stake. And therefore, in the Mashiach times, we won't forget about the miracle of Purim because the miracle of Purim is so grand it can't be bottled to the other sorts of miracles. This is another argument. Now, there's much more to be said. In the Chaim Lechag, he kind of goes off in like a philosophical sort of direction. I don't know if it's worth pursuing, but the fact is what the Radvaz is arguing, right, and what the Manos Halevi are arguing, is that the all the Yomim Tovim will still apply, but we're not going to make a big deal about it. Right? We can say Sukkot, big whoop, we said in Chatz. Right? All the other Yom Tovim can say, like, Mashiach is so great. But Purim we can't forget. Purim is a greater miracle than the others. That's what the Radvaz writes.
So he's not.
He's not
too far off from the Rambam, but he's.
So the Radvaz's explanation of the Rambam is that when the Rambam says that Megillas Esther will survive and the Yunt of Purim will survive, what that means is that it can't be nullified because it was so great. And that's what the Radvaz and the Manus Halevi are saying. They're all explaining the Rambam. Let me give you a few other explanations.
Okay.
The Alshech HaKadosh. The Alshech has the following idea. You know, the Gemara in Tainus writes that all the ideas that are found in Navi are actually alluded to in the Chumash. Right? Look at this Gemara in Tainus on Daf Tes. But I underlined it on the second side. Lavo tshuva asher he'arnu al zeh, to answer the difficulty in this Rambam, nazkira ma'amaram in Maseches Tainus Daf Tes, she'amrim. There's nothing in Navi, in Ksuvim, that's not hinted to in Torah. Shal Kain, Shal Breid Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan Heichan Haya Ramos Pasuk Ivelas Adam Tisalit Darko VaAmalo B'Shem Rabbi Hoshaya Rabbi Shul Pasuk VaYomer Mazal Sasalo Kimlanu. He quotes Gemaras that say, "Where is this alluded to?" He found a pasuk over here. In other words, everything in Navi is alluded to in Chumash. Hinei shakor ramos batorah. Ela shetzar chachma rabba. Lohoven hadavar mitoch hatorah. Kelkein husuk reb yochanin lomar b'shem rabbo. V'navo al ha'inyan. V'hu ki bimos mishichenu shetimalei ha'aretz de'a. Novin la'ashurenu mitoch hatorah. Kol ma'ashem ha'nevi'in luksuvim. Alkein yispatlu ki lo yelonu tzorech aleihem.
Every idea that's found in Navi is hinted to in Chumash. Now, I need Navi in the year 2019, in the year 5779, because I can't figure it out from the Chumash on my own. I can't. But in Mashiach times, when we'll have like a certain clarity of vision, a depth of understanding, so then I'll be able to read the Chumash and get everything. However, Megillas Esther is different, like we'll explain in a few minutes, right? But what the Alshech HaKadosh is saying is there's not going to be a need for Nevi'im when Mashiach comes, because we'll get everything from the Chumash. You know, they quote that the Vilna Gaon, at the end of his life, stopped learning Gemara, no? Because the Gra, at the end of his life, would just take out a Chumash, and he was able to remember every comment in the Gemara, every comment, anything, just based on the Pesukim in the Torah. Right? If a person has a certain depth of knowledge, you can get there. Yeah?
How does the Alshech get this?
He thought of it on his own.
No, I'm saying, what's his reasoning behind this?
Again, the Gemara says that every idea in Navi is found in Chumash. And therefore,
so
I don't.
How do you get every idea in Navi is found in Chumash?
He quotes his Gemara in Tainus Daf Tes. Ein davar b'neviim uktuvim sheino ramus
batorah. Okay.
It's all there.
Okay.
Now, Megillas Esther, however, is actually not alluded to in the Chumash. Esther min hator minayin. The Gemara in Chulin speaks about how there's some allusion to Esther herself. But the whole story of Esther is not alluded to in the Chumash. And in fact, the Gemara in Megillah on Daf Yud Daled writes, Tan Rabbanon, that there are 48 Nevi'im and 70 female prophetesses. How do you say it? Nis nabu lahem li Yisrael v'lo pichatuv lahotiru amasha katub batorah chutz mikra Megillah. Right? Nevi'im never added anything on besides Megillah. That means that all the prophecies are not contributing anything new. Mikra Megillah is something new. If it's something new, you can't get it from the Chumash. Not bad. Okay? Now, just to go a step further over here, with Aaron Cutler, in one of his Mamorim on Musar, it's in volume 3, page 78 and 79. So Rabbi Aaron Cutler has the following idea. The difference between Mashiach times and our time is that now I read Chumash and I don't see all those things. But we don't see like the hidden message. In Mashiach times, we'll see the hidden message. Megillas Esther is all about finding that hidden message. You can read Megillas Esther as a story of coincidences, as this strange, right, weird sequence of events that happened. We don't see Hashem's name anywhere in Megillas Esther. We don't see any miracles. But the lesson of Megillas Esther is that you have to read beneath the surface. You have to see, right, the true meaning behind what seems to be just unusual circumstances. The whole lesson of Megillas Esther is to read in the way that we will read in Mashiach times. In Mashiach times, we're going to know how to read a text. Someone sent me an email today, and I totally missed what the guy's saying. So then he writes back to me, "I thought they taught you how to read when you were in yeshiva." If I wouldn't like the guy, you know, it'd be bad. But the idea... It's my brother-in-law, he likes me. But the idea is that... The idea is that Megillas Esther is a messianic work, in that the way we read Megillas Esther in this world is the way we're going to read Chumash La'asid Lavol. We're reading it to find a deeper meaning, to find something beneath the surface. Now, that's Rav Aaron Cutler's read on the situation. I think it's very nice. There's another approach that we could take, which is actually slightly different, which is that in the halachic realm, there are similarities between Megillas Esther and Chumash. Chumash is never going to be batal. Chumash is the wisdom of Hashem. Ani Hashem lo shinisi. It can never be batal. Megillas Esther has a status like Chumash, in the sense of there are halachos that Torah requires sirtut. You have to, score the lines, right? And then write on it. Megillas Esther requires sirtut. No other books in Nach is there an obligation to read. There's no obligation. Esther is an obligation to read. You don't have to read Shir Hashirim. You don't have to read Haftorah, right? I mean, it was added on after, whatever it is. Esther is an obligation to read. The obligation to read Megillas Esther might have a status of Divrei Kabbalah, at least in the morning. The Kriya has a status of Divrei Kabbalah, as opposed to the Kriya at night. The Divrei Kabbalah has a status of Divrei Torah. Megillas Esther could be that it's like Chumash in that sense, so maybe that's why it's not. But it's a slightly different approach. Let's go on. What?
Does no one say it's because of
Kimu Mashi Kibu Kvar? So the Kimu Mashi Kibu Kvar idea also hints at this. It gets there. In other words, that Purim is a yontiv when we re-accepted the Torah, so that shows that the Purim story is like a Torah story.
Well, it shows that because the time of
Har Sinai we were forced, and now we accepted it on our own. So, but the point, that makes the Purim story somewhat analogous, somewhat connected symbolically to the Torah story. Let's go on a few other ideas. The Torah Tamima. Reb Baruch Halevi Epstein. He quotes from his father. Who was his father? Anyone know? The Aruch HaShulchan. Yes. Right? The Aruch HaShulchan is the father of the Torah Tamima. So he writes here the third line of the Torah Tamima. Mipi Abba Mari Shlita Shamati Lafarish Takavonihi Debazach Cholok Nes Purim Minise Sha'ar Mawados Yitzias Mesai Matantar Vanane Covered Besukis Debaot Shem Hayunisim Guluyim Shem Lestapik Behem Hine Nes Purim Afam Pisha Ko Hoya Meiz Hashem Afal Pikin Hoya Ko Inyano Bederha Terra Bofen Shemisha Libo Cholok Memunas Hashem Yochol Lefarish Hakol Bederach Hateva. Bezer Shomer Im Gam Nisim Gluim Kamo B'Chom Odim Yifseku Nisim Ha Kamusim Bederach Hateva La Olam Leivatlu. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, in Mashiach times, we're not going to have Nisim Gluim anymore. It's unbelievable. It's like paradoxical. Mashiach comes, we're not going to have revealed miracles. What we will have are Purim type miracles. We will have the hidden miracles. You have to remember that nature itself, as the Ramban points out, nature itself is a miracle, no? The fact that the Ramban has this. Right? The fact that the earth rotates around the sun. Right? That's miraculous.
The fact that we get
The fact that it's 22 degrees outside. That's miraculous.
The fact that we get up in the morning.
The fact that we get up. Every natural occurrence is really miraculous. The things that we generally consider miracles, the supernatural stuff, that's not going to happen in Mashiach. But natural miracles, Purim-type miracles, will happen all the time. So that's why Purim won't be bottle. The other miracles will be bottle in the sense of being, right? That's not the way we live life. Miracles, that doesn't happen anymore. That's the Aruch HaShulchan's paradoxical approach. Take it or leave it. Let's just give you two more approaches. The Rabbeinu Bachya has the following suggestion, which I actually think is probably in his Perush on Chumash, right? On the pasuk Ki lo tishachach mipi zaro in Parashas Vayelech. So Rabbeinu Bachya says that there's a difference between Yemos HaMashiach and the Zman of Tchias HaMesim. In Mashiach times, the world will operate normally. And all the mitzvahs will apply. In Tchias HaMesim times, it won't. Says Rabbeinu Bachya, you know what? When the Rambam says that Torah will be forgotten, we'll get rid of everything besides Megillas Esther, that's what Tchias HaMesim times. That's not Mashiach times. That's his argument. Now, it's nice, but it doesn't really read in the Rambam, because the Rambam writes, Yemos HaMashiach. No? So, I'm not exactly sure how you could read the Rambam this way, but, okay. What can we do? That's the Rabbeinu Bachya. Let me just finish off with one more explanation. So far we've had a number of explanations as what does this Rambam mean when he says that Megillas Esther and Purim alone will apply in the future. So we have the Tshuvas HaRashba, who says it's a promise that we won't forget about Purim. And we had our questions on that. We had the idea of the Radvaz and the Manos HaLevi, that the miracle is so great that it can't be bottled. Then we had a number of other explanations that all the other miracles are alluded to in Chumash. Megillas Esther is a chiddush, that's something new, it's not alluded to in Chumash. Right, we had ideas that perhaps Megillas Esther has the status of Chumash on some level. We had the idea about different types of miracles, supernatural miracles versus natural miracles, right, that the Aruch HaShulchan said. And then we had Rabbeinu Bachya, who splits between Yemos HaMashiach and Tchias HaMesim sometimes. Okay, well, very nice. Last explanation, Rav Huttner in Maimer Hey of Pachad Yitzchak. Rav Huttner has the following idea. You know, one of the interesting ideas when you go through the Megillah is that, like, everything seems to be delayed. Now, Esther has a party with Achashverosh. Hey, tell me, Esther, what do you want? Come back tomorrow and I'll tell you. The Jews, they fight and they kill the people. What do you want? Oh, I want another day, tomorrow, to do it again. No? Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. What's the idea of tomorrow? So the idea of tomorrow, Huttner contrasts with the idea of today. When Yaakov is trying to buy the Bechorah from Esav, Michra Chayom, Es Bechorah Sechali. What's that word, Chayom? Today. Like, so Rav Huttner explains, so Rashi writes, it means like light, just like day is light, they make a complete sale, no conditions, okay, very nice. But Rav Huttner says, Yom means that Esav lived everything for today. Esav is not focused on tomorrow at all. Esav is Ish Tzayit. Esav goes to the field. He likes the thrill of the moment. He likes right now. Yaakov is Ishtam Yoshev Halim. Yaakov goes to university. He studies to get his degrees later on. Yaakov, right, invests in tomorrow. Esav doesn't invest in tomorrow. Esav is all about today. Right? The war against Amalek. Machor! Anochi Nitzav Arosh HaGiv'ah. tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow, when we defeat Esav and Amalek, our defeat of them is based on tomorrow, because they live only for today.
Right? That's the difference between Yaakov's worldview and Esav's worldview. If that's the case, we understand that Megillas Esther, which is the text of defeating Amalek, the descendant of Esav, Megillas Esther is about tomorrow. Right? Esther says, come back tomorrow. The war will be tomorrow. And because Megillas Esther is all about tomorrow, so in the real tomorrow, in the days of Yemos HaMashiach, we're going to have Megillas Esther. Because Megillas Esther is then, this is like all Rav Huttner philosophy, but sometimes it's really good. Right? Rav Huttner is saying that the whole idea of Megillas Esther is focus on the future. The defeat of Esav of Amalek is that they are only on the right now. Right? They say, I once gave a sermon about this, right? That Esav failed the marshmallow test. No? You know the marshmallow test that like you give a kid one marshmallow and you say, if you hold on to it for 5 minutes, I'll give you two. Right? If you eat it now, you only get one. And thus, you can get more reward with delayed gratification. And most kids fail the marshmallow test. Esav failed. Right? Our lesson of Purim is that we have to focus on Machar. Right? And that's why Megillas Esther will exist L'Machar. Right? L'Machar. That's the basic idea. Okay, Yashikar, thank you for listening, Chevra. Next week, one more shir on Purim, and then we'll figure it out.